Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. As always, we'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on down for your neighbors. If this is your first visit to Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. We'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you'll drop by and let us know this is your first visit, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Now, Michelle Jacobo, I realize you may feel like a first-time visitor, but technically you're not. Anyway, it's good to see Jacobo Rofield back there, isn't it? Yeah. Please do read through the information in your bulletin announcement page to learn more about the Men of Faith meeting this Thursday evening, the upcoming property work day this coming Saturday morning, and the turkey dinner planning meeting on Monday, September 23rd. Tickets are available back in the foyer area for the quilt raffle, and the bazaar crafting days are underway as well. Please also remember that our monthly board meetings are now on the fourth Sunday of each month. They used to be on the first Sunday of the month. Now they're on the fourth Sunday of each month, which will be next Sunday, September 22nd at 12 o'clock noon in the upper room. This year's fall festival will be at Don and Judy Thomas's home on Sunday, October 6th, beginning at 4 o'clock. That's, 3 weeks away, I believe. We'd like to encourage you to also use this Sunday as a unique opportunity to invite family members and friends to join in what's been a wonderful annual tradition for us for quite a few years around here. The book drive that Gail Gentry's niece set up last week is still in progress for another week or so. There's a Facebook event post on our church Facebook page, and tomorrow I'll be putting out an email to everyone with the links that you can use to place orders in case you're not active on Facebook. Please do consider purchasing a book or more than one book if you wish, either for a child in your own family or one to be gifted to the children in the Jacobo family. I've seen some of these books. They're really great children's books. But most importantly, much of the proceeds from this sale will be donated back to the Jacobo family to help with their significant medical bills. And Kathy has a word to share about the CWF.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to say thank you to those that contributed to the Quilters and Crafters Flea Market that was held on Saturday, August 24th at Hillside Christian Church. After cleaning out the story areas in the CWF room and receiving lots of donations of crafting and quilting items from you, I was able to raise $70. My goal was $60, so I feel pretty good about it. I will turn in that money to Luella Scott, the Hanomi Circle treasurer, this Thursday morning at our meeting. In case you don't know just what the Disciples of Women, used to be called CWF, do for our church, I will mention a few things we contribute to or participate in. Clay County Clothes Closet, we collect Best Choice and Campbell labels for education. We collect used eyeglasses. We provide food at the funeral dinners. We visit and encourage in various ways to the shut-ins and service personnel. We have various sewing projects we deal with, baby dedications. We honor the graduates of our membership. We donate to the reading and writing packs each year. We donate personal hygiene kits to the needy. Missouri Women's Prison Packs are donated. We donate to the Church World Service School Project. To the Synergy House for Battered Women, we help with church improvement costs, and so on. Please consider joining one of the groups. We have two, the Hanomi Circle, which meets on the third Thursday at 10 in the morning, and the Esther Group Circle, which meets the third Thursday at 7 p.m. We study, worship, and share and fellowship the Word, and we assist the DWM in all their outreach programs. Thank you for quilting to the Quilters Market.
Please rise for the call to worship. We will always thank the Lord. We will never stop praising Him. May all who are oppressed listen and be glad. Let us praise His name together. Let us sing hymn number 517, all stanzas.
Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breath, oh, breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find thy promise rest. Take away our love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be, and of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and nevermore thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and praise.
Thank you, Jatana, for being our acolyte this morning. May we bow in a moment of prayer? We are thankful for this opportunity to gather in your name this morning, O Lord, in a country that affords us this freedom, and in this place where we are surrounded with others who share our beliefs. We acknowledge that if it weren't for the life, sacrifice, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, we would not be here in this place, and that indeed our world would be much different today. So as we begin our worship, O Lord, we actively seek the presence of the Holy Spirit to bring forth the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite the kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. You know you always have more in the second service than the first. You know that. I think we had about six, maybe, or eight. So, I think of you all quite often. I don't know if you know that, but since I don't have children, I think about you very often. And I was thinking of you when I was shopping this weekend because I bought some laundry soap. And I thought, no, I'm not going to give it to anybody. I thought, since we've been talking about other countries and people that don't have a lot, I wondered if you ever thought about people that are poor here and in other countries. They don't go to the store to pick up a jug of laundry soap. They wash their clothes in the river, a small river, and they use a rock to scrub their clothes. And when I was over in Peru, I thought, why are their clothes so white? Well, they use a chemical in their soap that we don't have here in the United States in our soaps much anymore. It's called lye, L-Y-E. And they scrub down at the river on this rock their clothes, which means they carry them down to the river, probably on their head, probably not in a bag, not in a car, I'm sure. There's very, very, very few cars in other countries. They walk miles. And then you got to bring it home, right? There's no dryer. Maybe if you're lucky, a clothesline. Maybe on the porch. So things are so much harder in other countries. And I thought, I bet they don't think about things like that. Like, when I was over in Peru, I noticed that they just don't put their trash in a bag and set it out for someone to pick up. There's like a big landfill, not a landfill, like a piece of property that they dump their stuff in. Sometimes they just dump it, not always in a bag. And then there's people down there scrounging through the garbage, trying to find, like, maybe an empty bottle that they could use it for, or maybe a bag or a piece of wood. But we have a lot of things that we really take for granted on a regular basis. And so since we've been talking about the crop walk, I just wanted to throw that out there because I thought of you when I bought my laundry soap. So I have some bags I brought you. They're empty. There's no surprise or anything inside. And I'm going to give you each one of these. One of the classes I was with this morning colored some, so I have some that have drawings all over them. So the crop walk is October 13th, if anybody wants to come. If you can't walk, you can sit and be part of the excitement and watch everybody. The kids always draw in the parking lot on the big empty parking lot, and there's just a lot of busyness going on. We've got some signs that have been made in one of the middle school classrooms, and we've got posters that people are making, and it'll be a big day since it's the 50th anniversary. But I want to give you these bags, and on the bags they say End Hunger, and they have the Crop Walk website if anybody wants to look at things. In this, I was hoping you would take it home. It's got a flat bottom. Set it on your table or your room or somewhere. And whenever you see it, I hope you think about the people that might have nothing in their lunch bags and maybe one meal a day. And so there's some in the back if some of the adults want to take some home. And in a couple weeks, you can just bring them back. And I'll talk to Dennis later about what week would be best. And we'll collect them all. I'll bring a basket or something. And so if you want to put a drawing in here, you can do that. If you want to put a prayer or something in there, a picture. And if you want to put a penny or a nickel or a quarter, and think about the people that don't have everything. Okay, so let me pass these out. And let's say a little prayer, and then I'll pass these out. So let's bow our head. Dear God, we have so many things that we have that we're given living in the United States. We are so thankful, and yet we don't think we have enough. We always want more. Please remind us when we see other people that don't have anything, and please let us be learning about other countries so we can be thankful for what we have and feel free to learn about where other people come from. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jill. As we go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to remember this week. First of all, Andrew would like for us to remember his brother and sister-in-law, Alex and Caitlin, as Caitlin lost her father, Steve Lay, this past week, and services were held in Van Wint, Ohio, yesterday. Also, we lift up Perla Mora's great-nephew, Joshua, as he is recovering from surgery. We want to remember also Betty Donahue. She's now home but still dealing with some health concerns. We lift up Jane Casebolt as she continues to be at a rehabilitation center. We do remember Dave Archer's brother, Joe, as he's making a good recovery from surgery. Rihanna Ralston continues to be in our prayers. And Ted Ferris's family, we remember his son, Terry, Thesis, anticipating knee surgery, and the wife of his son, Chris, Cheryl, again, anticipating a third hip surgery here in the near future. We continue to remember in Erica Miller's family, the family of her cousin, Michael Wells, who died of cancer yesterday after a very lengthy battle. Again, he leaves behind three young children and his wife. We lift up Russell Stewart's mother, Dolores. She's making better progress. And Michelle, it is indeed a joy to see you and Jesus and your family. We just lift you up in prayer every day. God bless you. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. It is with grateful hearts that we assemble in your house, O God, and offer you worship and praise. As today we focus on the life of Mary Magdalene and acknowledge her as the servant among servants, for the cause of the gospel message, we are grateful for the inspiration she has offered generations in the furthering of service to others. as Mary Magdalene was indeed freed from a terrible and long-lasting malady and chose to offer her life and service to Jesus, we are indeed, again, lifting up praise for the example that she offers. For we know that through her we are indeed inspired. And as we are continually mindful of the many in need, those striving to recover from recent tragedies, those facing severe illness and disability, those suffering through the loss of dear loved ones, those striving to discover hope and renewed direction, we know your Holy Spirit desires to guide your children in miraculous and enduring ways. Thus it is with hope and assurance of your Spirit's guidance that we offer this prayer, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Kathy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
This morning we have two readings. The first one is from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, in your pew Bible number 943. Soon afterwards, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The second reading is from John, chapter 20, verses 15 through 18, in your pew Bible number 991. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thank you.
It's good to have our choir back, is it not? We praise God for that. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Angie. Thank you. A young soldier of the Second World War managed to jump into a foxhole just ahead of a spray of bullets. Trying to deepen the hole by digging with his hands, he unearthed a silver crucifix. A moment later, a leaping figure landed beside him as shells screamed overhead. The soldier realized from the insignia on the other soldier's uniform that his companion was an army chaplain, to whom the young soldier exclaimed while he was holding up the crucifix, "I'm glad to see you, chaplain. How do you work this thing?" In times of our greatest desperation, we really do wish we could work God's greatest miracles to our own personal benefit. Yet as we share in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper, may we remember that through Christ, God's greatest miracle has already been achieved for our spiritual and eternal welfare. In Christ, we are redeemed from sin, and we are given the hope of life eternal. We turn to our communion hymn. It's hymn number 570 as we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Kathy leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, as we come to this communion table, may we remember the high price that was paid for our redemption. May it be with grateful and humble hearts that we share these emblems of your great love and Christ's great sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Jane Addams and her friend Ellen Starr purchased and then restored the old rundown Hall Mansion in Chicago in 1889. Then, in the old mansion, they cared for the children of working mothers, held sewing and cooking classes, created an art gallery, a playground, a public music, reading, and craft room. Jane became known as the mother of American social work. As she fought against child labor laws, campaigned for adult education, day nurseries, and better housing for common laborers. She was later hailed by President Theodore Roosevelt as America's most useful citizen, was awarded an honorary degree from Yale, and was the first American woman to be given the Nobel Prize for Peace. No matter how famous she became, however, Jane Addams remained a resident of Hull House in the heart of the slum of Halstead Street, the place she called home. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your ways." We consider these thoughts as Michelle leads us in a word of prayer and as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Heavenly Father, every day, help us to remember that of all gifts you give us, that one of the greatest gifts is love. It is not enough to share that love with those we hold dear. Open our hearts not just to those who are close to us, but to all humanity. Please bless these gifts and the givers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. I noticed several of you all been fanning yourselves. I was feeling a little hot here too. I actually realized as I was going and checking the thermostat here at the start of this service, a gremlin had run the air conditioning up to about 82 over on this side. I don't know who that gremlin was, but I got to figure out who it was. But somebody ran that thing up to 82. It's no wonder it's been hot in here all day. So I dropped it down as we were having our time of visitation. But it'll take a while to get it to cool down. But, you know, it is still summer after all. You know, here pretty soon we're going to be complaining about it being too cold, right? Anyway, let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house and to understand how women of Scripture have inspired and guided us. May we indeed be drawn to the example we see in Mary Magdalene. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. The trivia question you can take to lunch today is, who was known in the Bible as the apostle to the apostles? The apostle to the apostles. Now, you know, we'd probably think, well, that's got to be Simon Peter, or maybe Paul. But, you know, if you look at the subject matter for the sermon, you know, it's just got to be Mary Magdalene, right? Because that's who I'm talking about today. Why would Mary Magdalene be called the apostle to the apostles? Well, it's because she was the first at the tomb, the first person to see the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and she was the one who was instructed by Jesus, as the text says, to go and tell the apostles what you have seen, right? And so she is called the apostle to the apostles. And again, when you think in terms of the patriarchal nature, especially of ancient New Testament society, how it's remarkable to think that a woman would have been called the apostle to the apostles. Now, the name Mary was so common in biblical times. In fact, it was the most common name for women that the name always had to have some kind of addendum to let you know which Mary was being talked about, right? And we have, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And, of course, in Matthew chapter 27, we have Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. And in the case of the woman that we are speaking about today, Mary Magdalene, because she was from a fishing village called Magdala. Now, much has been misunderstood about Mary Magdalene. Many have thought that she was the prostitute who came into the inhospitable house of Simon the Pharisee and anointed the feet of Jesus. Remember that story? Some people think that that was her. And in fact, that whole notion was perpetuated to a great extent because in 581 AD, during a series of Easter sermons, Pope Gregory I made this assertion, and it stuck through centuries of Catholic teachings. I kind of wonder if Pope Gregory was kind of at the bottom of his class in seminary. You know, maybe he didn't get all the Bible stories right. Beginning in 1324 in Naples, homes that were created by the Catholic Church and housed women who were being rescued from prostitution, those houses were called Magdalene houses. And that perpetuated itself for centuries as well. So you can see how people have got this misconstrued idea that Mary Magdalene was, in fact, this prostitute that had anointed Jesus' feet. That is not an accurate understanding of true Scripture. Also, in our own pop culture, here a few years ago, we had a tassel of books and movies and stuff perpetuating the idea that Mary Magdalene was, in fact, the secret wife of Jesus, and they would claim that the Gnostic Gospels were leading us to believe that to be true. It sold a lot of books. It's amazing how much money can be made if you can concoct something that is sensationalized. But that's all it did. Sell books, make people rich. Kind of like that book back in the 70s called The Late Great Planet Earth. Remember that one? Remember how so many of our churches, folks carted that book around for months, if not years. Made that guy a wealthy man, and he ended up buying a bunch of real estate. But it's not accurate biblical truth. What we do understand from Scripture is that Mary Magdalene was obviously a very godly woman of outstanding character and must have certainly had a servant's heart. We do know she was from Magdala, a very prosperous fishing community that was just a short distance from Capernaum, which had become Jesus' home base. Mary likely was not married, as the severity of her malady would have made her an unlikely candidate for marriage. What was her malady? The text tells us that she was possessed by seven demons. Seven is often a count that simply means many. And we don't know for sure what it really was. Again, was she demon-possessed? You know, back in biblical times, people certainly believed that. But it well could have been that she had some sort of epilepsy or some kind of mental illness. Whatever it was, we know that it obviously became very incapacitating for Mary. And despite her wealth, no one had been able to come up with a cure. It was the power of Christ that freed Mary Magdalene. And that is the main message of her life. It's not the malady, whatever it was, but that Christ freed her and that Mary chose to use her newfound freedom to serve others. Now, the truth of the matter is not all people that Jesus ever healed chose to serve. Remember the 10 lepers? We find that from them, a lot of folks, when they were healed, never even bothered to thank Jesus. The text, Luke chapter 17, 9 of them come. Jesus gives them instructions. Go see the priest at the temple. And in so doing, on the way, they're healed. How many come back to Jesus and say thank you? Only one. We remember, too, that Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethsaida, John chapter 5. But instead of offering thanks to Jesus for what Jesus had done for him, what did this person do after he's healed? He goes to the Jewish authorities and kind of tattles on Jesus. Oh, well, yeah, he made me well. And then, of course, those Jewish authorities used that event of the healing on the Sabbath as a way to create more controversy against Jesus. But Mary Magdalene, she willingly chose to use her newfound freedom not to just indulge herself, but to serve. And obviously, a single woman who had come from obviously a family of means, probably in the fishing industry in that time period, maybe she inherited wealth, or maybe she's just part of a wealthy family, but she had resources. And she, along with several of these other women, chose to travel with Jesus, and they used their own financial resources to help pave the way for Christ's ministry, while at the same time they probably worked behind the scenes to take care of the meals, take care of lodging, to make sure the lodging got paid for, et cetera, et cetera. And in this way, we know that Mary Magdalene and these other women were invaluable to the success of Christ's ministry. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, you see, Mary Magdalene was compelled to offer thanks through service. And as a consequence, Mary is the one who is privileged to not only be first at the tomb, but she's the first to see Jesus, and she is the first to be able to convey the message, I have seen the risen Lord. Imagine what a profound blessing that must have been for her. You know, it's unfortunate that we don't know much more about Mary from Scripture than that. But as we think about the folks we've known, you know, we've probably known a few folks, like Mary Magdalene, who, as they were freed from maladies, had an earnest desire to compassionately serve others. In one church I served, her name was Mary Ann. Mary Ann knew firsthand the hardship of raising several children as a single parent. Her first husband had been so terribly abusive toward her and the children that that marriage had to end. But long before the days of any social assistance and with few personal skills, Mary Ann toiled through a number of menial jobs, taking care of the basic needs of those children and herself. As her children grew up, and as she was given the opportunity and blessing to marry a very loving and compassionate second husband, her circumstances improved as the years went by. And yet, in that community, any time the circumstances of a single mother were known, Mary Ann was the first person who would step forward and offer her generous assistance, had a listening ear, and a measure of comforting guidance to those single mothers and their children. You see, Mary Ann, like Mary Magdalene, was freed to what? To serve. And so what do we learn? We are freed. Not to just indulge ourselves, but we are freed to serve. Yes, we're freed from the bondage of sin. We're given the privilege of life eternal. But there are often many other bondages that come our way. Sometimes it is our own sinfulness that burdens us and we need to confess before our Lord. Sometimes the maladies that burden us are of our own making or are at the core of our upbringing or life experiences, and Christ wants to free us from those burdens. Sometimes we experience burdens of the heart and mind like guilt, shame, fear, and Christ desires to free us of those as well, freed so that, like Mary Magdalene, we can serve. That's why outside the sign says, freed to serve. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Do you know? He's not your Lord and Savior. Maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, it's number 560, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, stanzas 1 and 3 of 560. May we stand, please.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leading, leading, safe and secure from all alarms. Leading, leading, leading on the everlasting arms.
thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. May we pray. Gracious and holy God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us and guides us. And for this, we are indeed grateful. And for the privilege to journey forward in thanksgiving, we give thanks. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me all along my pilgrim journey. Oh, I want Jesus to walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. Oh, my head is bowed in sorrow. Oh, I want Jesus to walk with me.